This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I sent CeeLo some audio this morning of those all the smoke guys, Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson with the Vernon Maxwell stuff. They had the NBA great Vernon Maxwell on, and this guy tells unbelievable stories. You sent me a clip about him talking about Hakeem Olajuwon slapping him. He's talking about the 90s Jazz, and hopefully CeeLo will get that for you. And he's going through all the teams and all the players on the team and Stockton. And he mentions Jeff Hornacek, and we just were having a laugh. We were talking sports in a break. See?
Yes, we were. Yes, we were. Yeah.
We were having a laugh about just going through the Knicks coaches and thinking about Hornacek when he was here.
Yes.
There was that whole thing about how Joakim Noah choked him. And then you just think about, like, the Knicks have been good for a couple of years now. So it's like all of those memories we have flushed. But then when you think back at how bad it was.
Yes.
From, you know, Isaiah Thomas to Anuka Brown-Sanders to Jeff Hornacek and Joakim Noah to David Fizdale to, I mean, it was so bad.
Yes, it was
terrible.
Bad. And I felt bad for Jeff Hornacek because I actually did like him as a coach and I did like him as a player. And what sparked our conversation was this Vernon Maxwell interview. And he sounds exactly like Cat Williams.
Yeah, he's got,
like, you know what Cat Williams is doing, his stand-up, who I think is, like, he is hilarious, but he's as dirty as they come. Dropping N-words, F-words, you name it.
Sure.
MFers, this, that, and the other thing. But he's got this voice, Cat Williams does.
Mm-hmm.
And Vernon Maxwell has the same voice and the same type of delivery. It's ridiculous.
And when he's telling stories about these guys that you know, like Stockton, Malone, Ostertag, Hornacek.
Well, it's funny.
Hakeem Olajuwon.
You got these three black guys talking about the three white guys from Utah. And the way that Vernon Maxwell is basically describing Hornacek, Stockton, and Ostertag.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's so funny.
It really is. And so CeeLo, I have CeeLo working on the audio.
I don't know
and bleeping
if you can
it out.
Play it. You just played it for me. Like, like when I was listening to him tell the story about Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah. God.
And Sam Cassell. Oh my God. It's priceless. It's priceless. Does he even know how funny he is?
Oh, he definitely does. Cause he's doing it on X now too. Vernon Maxwell.
He
he's putting stuff out there on X and he's getting some attention from it as well. So there was he had a funny pickleball joke in there the other day that I think I might have told you about.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, he was, no, he's out there. He knows he's entertaining. I mean, it was a few years ago that I did that charity fishing tournament. I left out of that marina that's right down here. And it was with Lou Piniella, Chris Mullen was there, Ron Harper was there, Alan Houston. And there really is nothing better than listening to guys who played talk about that stuff candidly. Like, in them, like, discussing their own sports and then asking questions. You know, like Ron Harper asking Lou Piniella questions about baseball, Lou Piniella asking questions to Ron Harper about Kobe and Jordan and all that stuff. It's like, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, like, candidly chopping it up about their old times when they're together like that, and then you're like a fly on the wall. It's amazing.
I mean, Mad Max is ridiculous.
Vernon Maxwell, he's just the best.
I mean, you couldn't get a better nickname.
Oh, yeah.
For, like, he must have been himself. I wonder how he viewed himself. I haven't heard him say that yet.
Yeah, he's probably got some good self-awareness,
though. You think there's some self-awareness going on there? Like, he was very difficult to deal with?
Probably. I think I would assume just the way that he talks, and I have not listened to the whole podcast, but I'm sure that he talks about himself. I can't imagine he's like, I was the greatest and everybody around me was terrible. You know?
I mean, part of it is kind of like that, but in this way that he's talking about the Utah Jazz and Karl Malone driving an 18-wheeler to the game.
To the game, yeah. And then bringing up Ostertag. I loved Greg Ostertag. I loved Greg Ostertag because big old 7-footer in there, double zero he wore.
They were like the 90s Knicks, man. They just could never win the championship.
Yeah, I know. It was sad. And Karl Malone, Karl Malone came in here to when you were with Craig, and then that was when I was down the hall with Brian Jones, and we had a little like basketball hoop on the door, like one of those little kid ones, mini hoop. And Malone wanted to dunk on me. So I have these pictures in this video of Karl Malone dunking over me, which is pretty cool. I got to say, I was not like Greg Ostertag in that moment. I got posterized by Karl Malone.
Max called him a country something. What did he call him?
Country ass son bitch.
Something like that, yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was great. So, CeeLo, hopefully I have some of that audio coming up. But, you know, in the least surprising news of the month, this happens every year in the draft, that there is a guy that wasn't projected to be a first-round pick, and he's starting to rise now. And we even projected that it would be this guy, and that is Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, to the point now where people are saying, could the Jets take Jackson Dart at number 7? Or, you know, like, what? You know, it's crazy how this happens. It happened with Zach Wilson, happened with Bo Nix last year, happened with J.J. McCarthy, it happened with Michael Penix. It happens every year. Now, there's not as many quarterbacks that could jump into the first round this year as last year, but he will be the one to do it. He will be the guy that he'll get drafted in the first round. I mean,
here's what happened. So I called Todd McShay.
You called him?
No, I caught him on like Instagram doing one of his breakdowns of one of these players. Hey, you know, listen, he cares about it. He loves it. It's kind of like looking at Mel Kiper and listening to what they're talking about. And he was having
really good at projecting these guys. He nailed Daniel Jones out of the draft.
Yes, he did. So he is talking about Shedeur Sanders. And he's talking about some of the contact that he had with some of the teams that need quarterbacks in this draft. We all know who those teams are.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking and saying that the people that he was talking to within these organizations that Shedeur Sanders sat down and had an interview with, the 15-minute interview, that it was, and I want to make sure that I get this right by Todd. I don't want to screw this up. He said that the guys that were talking and interviewing Shedeur Sanders felt as if Shedeur Sanders could give two craps about what the hell they were talking about. Like wasn't even interested in talking to the guys that he was talking to, or that Shedeur was talking to.
Yeah.
That have a high draft pick that need quarterback. So I'm assuming the Browns, the Titans, you could talk, I don't know who else would be in that list, I guess. I think Shedeur has his eyes set on one thing and one thing only. It feels like the Giants. Or maybe because he's working out with Tom Brady, maybe the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I don't.
And doesn't want to go to the Browns, doesn't want to go to the Titans, didn't, you know. And Todd basically said it was off-putting, essentially. That was what I got out of what Todd was saying in his Instagram post.
Do you want a counterpoint to that? Some counterpoints?
No, but I'm just, the reason I say that is because I think that probably happened to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, these interviews, sometimes you impress people, sometimes you turn people off. And, maybe there are teams that he does not want to play for and therefore doesn't really need to get involved in these conversations. But, again, I still think he's a guy that thinks that he's going to make it because his dad made it and he's the son of his dad. And he feels like, you know, he's ready for this next step.
Yeah, so Josina Anderson, who I believe does some work for CBS now, she said, I'm disappointed to hear that a quarterbacks coach from a team drafting in the top 7 referred to Shedeur Sanders as coming off brash and arrogant in his team interview and making his assessment known to a number of people per source. I'm purposely not naming the team as to not directly call the team out. I'm just sharing this.
Come on, get over it, man.
I'm just sharing that this coach's personal assessment is the direct opposite from how Sanders came across to many reporters in his press conference with the media at the Combine.
Yeah, well, he's not trying to, I guess he's trying to impress the press, but they're not drafting him.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe he's talking to a coach and he was flippant in his comments, or, you know, that was the way that it was interpreted by the coach. Coach is allowed to have his own opinion. Yes? No?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I bet you I came off brash and somewhat off-putting. I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, and you weren't even getting paid back in college.
Damn straight I wasn't getting paid.
So, I mean, I think it says, let's see, according to league sources, said QB coach said seems to have issues with the culture of athletes who have broad fame and financial success before entering the NFL, and in their opinions appears to them to have a problem with certain athletes, and I'll leave it at that.
Okay, well, guess what, Josina? That is a problem that everybody's dealing with. You're dealing with, you know, kids coming out of high school now that want $1 million to go play for a school, or $15 million to go play for quarterback for Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, so it everybody's affected by the money. And I'm sure he comes off as cocky, brash, and very confident, which I would expect him to be.
Yeah, I've never seen an interview or anything with him where he has come across as someone who doesn't care about football or isn't interested in what someone's saying to him. That would be a surprise to me. That's not the stuff I'm worried about with him. Those things, I think, will be fine with Shador. The issue I have is his talent to be able to succeed in the NFL.
Yeah, I was telling somebody, you know, Tom Brady was drafted in the 6th round, Brock Purdy in the 7th round. These guys were not thought to be great players coming out of college, and they made themselves into something because maybe the environment they were in, maybe they believed in themselves so much that there was no way that they were going to fail. I kind of feel like Shador falls into that category in terms of his overall athleticism and explosiveness. You can't sit here and tell me that Brock Purdy and Tom Brady were explosive coming out of college.
Yeah, and by the way, you know, every year these smear campaigns start on a player. I mean, we can go, I mean, we're talking 20, 30, 40 years ago, this stuff would go on. Dan Marino, as far back as then, Josh Allen digging up his tweets from when he was 14 years old, the Laramie Tunsil dropping of the weed gas mask the night of the draft. These things always happen. So, you know, I am not surprised at all. There'll be stuff about Cam Ward that comes out. These agents are ruthless and just, it's just horrible. Teams do this. They put stuff out. They want a guy to fall. And it sucks. Now, it's different now, because these guys are getting paid at the college level and a lot of money.
And this is prime son, man.
Right.
So, I mean, so this kid has been coached by his dad.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in high school, college, and now he's getting ready for the pros.
Yeah.
And you don't think he's going to be there's not going to be some sort of impact that the whole Deion presence is going to have on this kid? It's unfortunate. I mean, it's good that he has, you know, the last name Sanders and that Deion's his dad, but it's a blessing and a curse.
Sure.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Sure, because there are people out there that don't like Deion's brashness and are just going to assume that Shador is the same exact guy.
How about it happen if you were Charlie Woods?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you got to live up to this impossible situation. And, you know, I think Tiger, by all accounts, seems like a great dad, and
he was there. Did you see
that?
Did you see he was there at his daughter's soccer championship victory in college? And it was
sportsman. Oh yeah,
yeah. And he's out there celebrating and having a good moment with her as well.
Yeah. So I mean, like, again, Shador has got to live. He's got a lot to live up to. But I also say that he may have that intangible that is required to become a really good quarterback, and that's the belief that you're going to be that quarterback. And because he is Shador Sanders, and because he's going to be a first-round pick, everybody is focusing on that. Nobody focused on Brock Purdy. Nobody focused on Tom Brady. By the way, nobody focused on Joe Milton, you know, when he got drafted. And I'm just, all I'm saying to you is all of those guys probably had exactly this brashness that Shador has now, but maybe it's just not out in the open as much because they were not Shador Sanders.
Tom Brady posted on Instagram, and you have to be careful with him because there's sometimes he's used things and make him look like he's throwing the ball a certain way. But he ran a 40 like last week.
Okay.
then took the two videos of him running the 40 last week and then the 40 at the combine and meshed them together.
And how did it look?
He beat the guy at the combine.
I wouldn't doubt it.
46-year-old or 40, whatever he is now, beat the Tom Brady out of the combine.
Would you be surprised?
No.
Because the Tom Brady out of the combine was slow.
Yeah.
Stiff. Yeah. And not overly impressive physically.
Right. Yep.
So look what he turned into.
It was close, but the old guy edged him. Edged him just a little bit.
The heart and the mind, you mold them together, you get greatness.
Wow.
I'm waiting up right now. Down.
You got the heart. See, it's too bad Jerry's not here.
Why is that?
Because he could use that for the calendar. You got the heart. You got the mind. You meld them together.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You meld them together. Dot, dot, dot. You get greatness. This is up there, man. This is up there. This is like the winning is the deodorant of champions. That's what this is. This goes right in there.
Every couple months.
One just comes out of you naturally.
Just naturally.
Yeah. You're like a fruit-bearing tree. You know?
You're like Confucius.
Immanuel Kant. You got the heart. You got the mind. You meld them together. You get greatness. I love it.
I know you do.
That's your lesson for the day, everybody out there listening. All you youngsters out there that are striving for greatness, Boomer just laid it out for you perfectly. The blueprint for success.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, CeeLo, your Five Borough Bike Tour team is up to $7,200.
Yeah, man.
Man, you're doing such a great job raising money.
No, you
it's
guys.
Amazing.
You know, you guys gave us the momentum we needed on Friday. It was incredible.
Right. Boyle and Morash, are they doing anything?
Well, they're signed up. They've got their pages going. So they're in the very early stages.
Of course,
as you know,
early stages, yeah.
A lot of the donations have been made to the team page, so they don't necessarily show up on the individual page.
Yeah, no, but I'm looking at all the. I got to tell you, can I say the name or should I not say the name?
I mean, he had an option to put it anonymous and did not. So,
all right, do you know Bill Conroy?
I think I did. That name sounds familiar.
He raised $1,000 for you.
Did he?
He donated.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
Yes.
But everybody from that $1,000 all the way down to somebody who gave you $2.50 like I did.
You gave me $2.50,
yes,
did
yes.
you?
I told you I was going to get started.
Okay. Hey, every cent counts.
Well, the point I was making to you is that, yes, you accept it all with gratitude and understanding that these people really want to make a difference, and you're going to do that for them.
I was blown away by Friday. I did not expect, I mean, you guys talking about it, I figured obviously it would lead to something, but for it to lead to what it led to was incredible.
Did you get in touch with that nice CF mom, Katie?
I did, and she put me in touch with her brother. So I spoke to him actually right after the show on Friday. It was the very first thing I did after the 10 o'clock update.
Attaboy.
So we chatted a little bit, kicked around some ideas of something larger scale or as simple as maybe patting myself going to do like a guest bartending spot.
Yeah, that, so, you know, and how's Al's thing coming down in Bradley Beach?
I said goodbye to Al on Friday and he was fine. He was in see you, love, good weekend.
If that happened on a Monday, he would have slit your throat.
I got home and I texted him. I was like, dude, I feel so bad. You know, let me figure out, I'll come up with some idea. I'll make it up to you. You know, I felt terrible, but he was a good sport about it. So,
yeah, well, he told the story yesterday that you texted him and that you were very anxious.
Oh, you did? You talked about this on the air?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we are moving forward. I don't have anything to announce yet, but I am moving forward with something.
Yeah. You are moving forward with something. Oh, wow.
I can't announce yet what I have yet
because this is me.
Not all fully completed yet, but I am because CeeLo put me in that position.
It's all for a good cause,
something
though.
I love it. Okay, good.
And just so you know, this is an obvious thing, but just so you know, it has to happen before May 4th in order for the money to count for this particular thing.
Yes.
But of course, if it happened afterwards, you can still donate to the foundation. But for the bike tour, the money's got to get in before actual bike tour.
Exactly.
So do you think with this influx of cash that you're getting to Team CeeLo, Team NARPS, that there could be a chance that you out fundraise Boomer or Jerry Cahill.
I'm sure Boomer won't allow that to happen. And I don't mean anything, you know, under the table, shady or anything like that. But him being the competitor that he is,
you're not winning.
No shot.
Yeah.
Good try.
Yeah.
I think there's a chance. You get all the listeners who want to take Boomer down a peg.
I think that's what led to Friday, to be honest with you.
And, you know, would want to throw their support.
I see some of the snide comments in there.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's fine.
That's good. Yeah, of course.
But
yeah.
You got to remember, like 2 days before the bike tour, Boomer gets that big portly villager influx of cash that we bring him, puts him right over the top.
That's expectations.
Yeah. I would say this. Look, we want to do our part, obviously, and you guys gave us an incredible jumpstart on Friday.
Yes.
So you saw I updated our team goal.
Yeah, I saw it. Because
I basically took what you guys helped raise on Friday and essentially not wiped it out, but put that to the side, and then we're going to try and do what we were originally intending to do.
So I saw Richie yesterday.
Yeah, and Richie Hahn, all-time great.
Man, so he'll be more than happy to pick up the bike for Pat Boyle. So Pat can either go to the office in Garden City, or I'll bring it in.
Perfect. Good stuff.
If I may add one more thing, I did tag both of you in this over the weekend, but I'm sure you guys aren't in your Twitter mentions on the weekend, especially G, you're checked out. I did set up an auction for the fourth spot on our team,
okay.
An online like silent bid type deal. It's open until this Saturday. So we have at least one bid. I didn't check this morning if there's another one, but I want to pump that out there.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add the link to our team page.
All right.
So if you go to assiason.org.
Getting involved.
I told you that it was coming, but you guys gave us the little push we needed. So if you go to assiason.org on the homepage, Team CeeLo is there, and I am going to put the link on there, or you can go to my, it's pinned to the top of my Twitter X profile, and there's a link in there. You can go in if you want to ride, because I did have quite a few people the last couple of weeks reach out. So we are putting that last spot up for grabs.
Good.
And the winning, just to quickly explain, the winning bid will serve as the donation to the team.
All right, nice.
So no one's pocketing that or anything. That would be your. So if you want to ride and you want to donate and contribute, you can go make a bid. The link is out there, and we have one spot open left in our team.
Oh, boy.
And then that'll be your donation to join Team WFAN NARPS with myself, Pat Boyle, and Sean Morash.
Awesome, CeeLo. Good job.
Yes.
Good job.
Very proud of you, CeeLo.
Pat on the back spot for you. All right. What's going on in sports?
All right. Do you want to start with the Vernon Maxwell stuff since you brought it up?
Sure, why not?
Why not? All right. So let's go. Let me just go to where we're at here down in the script. So all the smoke guys, yes?
Yes. Yes. Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson.
Yes, you're a regular listener or viewer of this show.
When the clips are out there, I'll watch the clips now.
Okay, so they have him on to talk about a variety of things, as it turned out. In this first sequence, they're teeing him up on the 90s Utah Jazz.
What was Stockton and Malone like?
Stockton, dirty as one of the dirtiest players in the NBA ever history. This little short little mailbox looking carry ass.
Yeah.
And he's dirty as hell. He's a dog. He's a demon.
Yeah.
John
a demon.
Stockton.
Yeah.
Nah, for real. He was a just don't look like that, but he was nasty as
Yeah.
He's a dirty dog.
I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
I love that at the end. You're thinking that he's criticized. Oh, yeah. So they all love dirty John Stockton.
Does he not sound like Cat Williams or no?
I don't know enough about Cat Williams. You have to lean on Gio for that. Next up, thoughts on Jeff Hornacek, who Gio, of course, brought up last segment, the Knicks head coach, but of course, part of those Utah teams back in the day.
Yeah, him and. And then don't believe that motherfucker do this here too. Honestly, that motherfucker was a dirty motherfucker too. That motherfucker, he did that shit out of there and knocked that shit down. Y'all see, okay, that motherfucker Haunted got down, and then you got this big old motherfucker, wild ass country white motherfucker.
The wild ass. Country ass mother bleeper is Greg Ostertag, who you might recall, of course.
This is all like respect to these guys, which is the best part about it.
100%. And then in the same breath, pretty much, another country ass boy, his words, not mine, as it turned out, Karl Malone and his big ass truck.
And then you got country boy ass driving 18 wheeler of the rig of the 18 wheeler down in the goddamn stadium. Who's doing this? I mean, what the he got this motherfucker. I got this motherfucker got an 18, the rig, the front end of the truck He brings that to the game. That's what he drives to the game.
Who does this?
That is quite the image. Carmelo rolling in an 18-wheeler.
And they did put the image up in that clip, too, which is just incredible. Yeah, I know that overnights on Infinity Sports Radio are open. Maybe Vernon Maxwell could apply for that. Guy's got a future. That's the guy I'm putting on Inside the NBA next.
Yeah. We got the Hakeem Olajuwon story. You want to kick that for next hour?
Yeah. I keep that for the next hour. Okay. That's a guy that Barstool should hire.
Yeah, true.
Let him do NBA breakdowns.
That is
true. Unbelievable.
That would be smart. Very smart.
All right. We'll give you the other part with Hakeem Olajuwon next hour. Mixing a few other things here. NFL Network's Rich Eisen back from his week in Indianapolis at the Scouting Combine. Usually comes through with some info, some chatter, some scuttlebutt. How real were the Giants as contenders to land Matthew Stafford before he and the Rams, of course, decided against breaking up?
I heard the Giants and Raiders' interest in Matthew Stafford was quite real, and it was hairy at certain junctures last week. And I heard the Giants hit the number, and they hit the number for Stafford, and they not only hit the number for Stafford. I heard this again from multiple people. I heard they hit the number for Stafford. And they hit the trade comp, too. Whoa. They were in,
but then you listen to Sean McVay yesterday talking about the agreement that came through with Stafford and tells a little bit of a different tale, at least publicly.
I don't think either Matthew or myself ever really felt like this was a direction we weren't going to go. And sometimes when you really care about people, you can have real conversations, and I think it's going to be even better moving forward. And when you see what ends up coming of it, you're going to really see, man, this is a selfless decision on his part, and this is really good for the Rams.
You know what? Sean McVay reminds me of Tommy Lugauer. They have a lot in common.
Yeah, I can. You know, now that you say that, I hear it a little bit. I think Tommy's a little higher pitched.
Well, it's not just that. They're screaming at you.
A lot of energy.
Because I was listening to the Lugauer yesterday coming, and driving, and he's screaming into the microphone.
Yeah, of course. He gets his hour, man. He's getting every bit of it.
Dogs, domination.
Yeah, squeezing out every ounce of that.
High energy guy.
It's great, but man, he's just got a little less volume.
I don't know. You seem to talk about it every time, so he must be doing something right.
That's right.
This is why I'm the future.
All right. Okay. Maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know.
This is why I'm the future.
This is why
I'm a generational talent.
Yeah. We talked
Eddie
about
hired
this yesterday,
right? Yeah. Well, so he's got that going for him.
And the guy to your right, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but we didn't hire him full time.
Yeah, but that wasn't what you were asking, Eddie.
No.
You want to know who came through his internship program.
Which I told him yesterday. I thought he is like the Howie, or Gio said he was like the Howie Roseman of radio.
Now, Eddie, I got to ask, was I one of the misfits or was I a buttoned up Spitz guy?
Oh, you more coming out of Quinnipiac.
Buttoned up. Because I did go suit and tie. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
definitely a Spitz guy.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Actually, Spitz was gone by that point. I think I just did a solo.
The internship program. But I didn't know if you still ran it by him at all. That was solely your venture.
He might have been out of the building by that.
No, he definitely no. Definitely not. No, this was Astoria. He was here.
So he had an okay. Choice. Is that the way it worked?
Probably he was still involved. I forget. At one point I did take it over, even though he was still here.
I only met with you. I just listening to you yesterday talk about your involvement with him. I didn't know when that ended. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but definitely once you start seeing the ugly ducklings, that means he was out of the mix.
That's a fair point. Yeah. It's funny. You brought up last hour the blog that had Jerry doing that Rob Conrad story from 2015 when we used to write up full story summaries of the morning show.
Yeah.
When I was young working with you and Craig, and I'd fill in and do that for Bobby Dwyer, I'd have to sit with Spitz, and he'd essentially proofread and okay the pictures of, women in bikinis with their chest hanging out. So he had a lot of oversight back in the day.
Yeah.
I remember that oversight.
Remember the cop that you hired? He was an NYPD officer who was trying to look into other careers. His name was Mike.
Yeah.
And he used to shake everybody's hand when he came into work. Everybody's hand every day. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? So it was a morning. Imus was still here, right? And wherever Imus was broadcasting from, it was not working. So Dick James, the all-time engineer who was just like every other engineer, real normal person when things are going right and can really lose it when things are going wrong because there's so much stress involved in that. And you got Imus and everything else.
So this guy walks in. He goes up to Bernard, goes, "How you doing?" And Bernard looks at him. Then he goes up to Dick James, who's over the board. He goes, "How you doing?" And Dick James looks at him and goes, "Ah!" And it was one of the funniest things I'd ever seen in my life. And the guy, you know, then he just, that was the first interaction he had with Dick James, you know, and goes to me. He's like, "Is he always like that?" I'm like, no, just a bad,
bad day.
Just a rough moment for him. He'll be fine.
Screaming at him.
Dude, yeah. We've got some of the engineers, some interesting characters over there.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some of the best guys out there, the hardest working, talented guys. But when something goes wrong, if I were an engineer, I'd be the same way. I'd lose my mind.
Yes. I mean, these are the things that we take for granted. We never see it. We never see the issues behind the scenes.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Dick was unbelievable. He was.
He was.
Like, if that interaction could have been caught on film as part of a behind-the-scenes series or documentary or something, that's tremendous.
And you know exactly how that would unfold.
Yes.
You know, unknowing intern walking into that
buzzsaw. Yeah. Oh, boy. All right, before I run out of time, let's go to the Garden where the Rangers put together back-to-back shutouts.
D'Angelo's pass broken up by Miller. Miller moves in with Zibanejad. He shoots. He scores! It's another two-point game for JT Miller.
I'll tell you one thing.
Rangers lead 3-0.
Everything that we've seen thus far from him, including the Four Nations, you know exactly why Drury wanted him.
I mean, I don't think people realize, because he's playing in Vancouver, how good a player he became out there.
Exactly. So he was good when he was here. He was young.
Yes.
And then went to Tampa.
He was fine there.
He was fine, and he also saw great players there.
Yes.
And then goes to Vancouver, and now comes back, and this is a complete, I want to say completely different type of player, but a player that has now
fully developed
and met his ceiling.
Yeah,
hopefully there's more to give, and hopefully he can drag this team across the playoff finish line.
Feels like there's been a trickle-down effect, certainly with Mika Zibanejad. They've been playing together pretty much since he got here, and Mika's...
It's like he's unlocked them. Hey, let me ask you a question. In your eyes, as a Ranger fan, has Matt Rempe become a hockey player?
He's getting there.
I think he's
getting there.
Real hockey player.
I'd say this.
I saw last night in the corner with the puck on his stick, head up, looking around, throwing it up to the point, getting to the middle of the ice. Sorry, guys. But it's more than just a gimmick anymore.
No, it's not a gimmick. It's just I think he's still figuring out how to play regularly at that size. Like the hit the other night on Sunday that got penalized.
He's got to learn.
He's just so enormous that when he goes in there, it looks like he's going in high on guys or getting the elbow up or whatever. And that can get him in trouble.
I wonder if the Rangers get him a cut-up of Zdeno Chara hitting people.
Yeah, I mean, it's different because, you know, defenseman versus winger.
Yeah, but Zdeno Chara would still have to hit people.
Well,
but
sure. But from a different position, different perspective.
I know, but I just think he's becoming a better hockey player.
He's made strides.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. And as are the Rangers, back-to-back 4-0 shutouts, as I mentioned. Another good night for JT Miller. Will Cooley, 2 points, as did Artemi Panarin, who added an empty netter. So Blue Shirts in the thick of this jam-packed wild card race in the East, and they'll face the first-place Washington Caps coming up tomorrow night. 21 saves for Igor Shesterkin, his fourth shutout of the season. You do have the Knicks and the Warriors tonight at the Garden before the Knicks head west for their 5-game
road trip. You know it's the middle of March when we can talk hockey and everybody shuts up.
Right, yeah. That he's not playing drops. You know, boring, stop talking, all that stuff, yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
So if you go to the top 10 picks in the NFL draft.
Okay.
I think their fan bases know more about their teams than the guys actually who are making the pick are. You know, when you look at all these fans,
you're talking about like the history of the team.
Of the team. Yeah, yeah, of course, so, because like Darren Mucci doesn't know crap about the Jets.
Like, he doesn't go back and think about the Kyle Brady pick or the Dwayne Robertson pick or any of those things.
Well, I think he should. I mean, he should. And
should he or should he not?
I think you have to know about the history of the team, and you got to immerse yourself into the history of the team. And that's what I would always say about like a rookie who gets drafted by a team.
Yeah.
So let's say Shador Sanders gets drafted by the Giants at number 3. His opening press conference would be, "I hope to be able to follow in the footsteps of the great quarterbacks that have played here." you know, the great Phil Simms, Eli Manning, you know, Jeff Hostetler won a Super Bowl. I mean, like, there's a lot of people that you could point to, and he would ingratiate himself with the ownership, with the coaching staff, and with the fan base.
Mm.
I would like to think that, you know, if you're a GM or, like, you know, Aaron Glenn knows about the Jets. He knows the history of the Jets. I don't know what Darren Mooji knows, but
nothing.
He and Rick Spielman both should learn as much as they possibly can so they understand what, you know, they're trying to stay away from.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Darren Mooji looks like a guy who, the exact type of person who's going to walk into the propeller of the New York Jets, or the engine, the jet engine, like... Like, that's what he looks like.
It's like a bird strike?
Yeah, kind of, like a Canadian goose.
I hope that's not the case, but, you know, if they do this again with a rookie head coach, a rookie GM, and a rookie quarterback, if they do that again, I mean, that's why I believe that Tyrod Taylor will be the starting quarterback, no matter what happens.
Yeah, so I saw the Connor Hughes report, and I could go back and try to find the exact wording of it, but I believe that I'm pretty accurate with this, is that they plan on, as of right now, they plan on having Tyrod Taylor as a starter, then they're going to add another Tier 2 quarterback from another organization in free agency to deal with that situation for this particular year.
And who knows, maybe they do trade out, get an extra couple picks, and maybe they take Jackson Dart, or they take Kyle McCord, or they take one of these other kids that, you know, that may be rising in the draft as we speak.
Yeah, and Jackson Dart, as I mentioned before, he's going up, and then everybody's looking, okay, well, what's the team that could potentially, you know, take him that's quarterback needy, and the Jets come up there, the Raiders come up there as well. But, I mean, it's just every year it's the same thing. Like, coming out of college as any type of quarterback prospect now is like this is the best time to do it.
Let me ask you this question. Tom Brady's working with Shedeur Sanders, big deal. Like, everybody talks about how, you know, they've been talking, they've been working together. And then the Raiders have an opportunity to trade up to go get Shedeur, or Shedeur is standing there or sitting there, and the Raiders have a choice to pick him, and they don't pick him.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, what does that tell you?
It tells you that Tom Brady doesn't think he's any good.
Right. So all of this stuff about, you know, that he thinks he's going to be a good player, he's not willing to put his team on the line to pick him.
Yeah, true.
Just like he may not be on doesn't want to put his team on the line to take Sam Darnold in free agency.
Man, that too. All of this feels like a drop for Shedeur. He's not going to be there, so it's not going to be as awkward if he's sitting there and he's sliding down. Yeah, I know, he's not going to be there. So it just,
which is really shocking.
But once you told me he was in Green Bay, I wasn't that shocked.
Well, trying to grow your brand.
Yeah, but he's going to have a million cameras on him. He's going to be with all his family.
Yep.
You know, there's been other guys who have chosen to do that.
I would imagine that he will have a camera on him somewhere, wherever he is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, 100%. But it's just, I don't know if it hurts his brand not being there, but I will tell you that, you know, if he felt really confident in going one of the first 3 to 5 picks, he would definitely be there, don't you think?
I mean, have you heard... Here's an interesting thing. Have you heard anything from Deion Sanders lately about this?
I haven't. No. Now, he goes on a lot of podcasts. He does that, what is it, Tubi? Does a show on some weird-ass streaming service every week. I don't know if he has. I'm not really paying attention.
But if he has had something to say, you would hear it if it were controversial.
Yes.
And you would think that, you know, he has the ability to talk to coaches directly and to talk to general managers directly and even talk to owners directly if you wanted to.
Yeah, I mean, in this pursuit, especially with the Rich Eisen cut that we heard from CeeLo this hour, about how the Giants were ready to go with Matthew Stafford and ready for the trade compensation, all that tells you what they think of these two guys, too, because I don't believe that they would have gotten Matthew Stafford for 3 years, $50 million a year, and drafted one of these quarterbacks in the top three. They would have drafted a guy that's going to help Matthew Stafford right away.
Exactly.
So that tells you right there what you think.
Well, it also tells you that they know that they need a quarterback. And like I told you this morning, some of the reports coming out of the combine is that the Giants feel like they're a quarterback away from being a good team, competitive team. Now, you may not think that. Giant fans may not think that. But internally, that's what they're thinking.
Well, it's not crazy because the Commanders could have said that last year. And that's what happened. You know, and it depends. Like, it depends what.
Yeah, but I'm talking about they're. Well, if they're trying to trade for Matthew Stafford, they're telling you, like you just said,
yeah,
not one of these quarterbacks in the draft is going to propel them to where Washington went with Jaden Daniels.
Well, I agree. They don't think that.
They're thinking that they need a stable, older, professional quarterback that's going to make everybody around them better because they do believe that they have a good, solid core. That's their own belief.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the fans believe that or you or I believe that doesn't matter. It's what they believe.
Sure.
And it's what they're convincing the owner.
And I think that if Matthew Stafford came to the Giants, I thought they could be a playoff team. I didn't think that was nuts.
So that's what they're telling the owner. That's what they're telling John Mara and the Tisch family.
Yeah. Better be right. Better be right.
But if you're wrong.
You're gone.
Right. That's why they don't want to be having to develop a guy.
I know. This is what we've been saying for months now. They don't want to have to, unless one of these guys was jumping off the page like Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels.
Or Drake May.
Yeah.
Or even Bo Nix for Denver. Look what he did with the right coach.
Well, they had an opportunity to draft him last year along with Michael Penix, along with J.J. McCarthy, and they didn't draft any one of those guys.